leader.
Order. Order. The House will come to order straight away. Order.
Kia waka paua ia hau.
Order.
Aku kaha
order.
Kakua.
Order. That is not the affirmation required by law. Hone Harawira will now leave the chamber and return to this chamber on a sitting day when he is prepared to make his affirmation according to the law of this land.
That's the Oaths and Declarations Act of 1957. Rish, what happens in other countries?
Our oath is the same as that of the Australian Parliament, and both the New Zealand and Australian oaths are very similar to the British oath, except the British oath has the words Almighty God near the start. Like New Zealand, both the Australian and British Parliaments allow members to either take the oath or make a solemn affirmation.
What's the difference between an oath and an affirmation?
The difference between the two is that the oath is based upon religious principles and the affirmation is not. The only difference in the wording is that the oath begins with the words, I swear that I will be faithful, whereas the affirmation begins, I solemnly, sincerely and truly declare and affirm that I will be faithful. Also, the oath ends with the words, so help me God, whereas the affirmation does not.
So, if taking the oath, the member must have a hand on the Bible?
Not necessarily. While a standard edition of the Bible is most commonly used, other religious scripts are allowed. For example, Julius Vogel, who later became New Zealand's first Jewish Prime Minister, was sworn in 1863 with his hand on the Old Testament.
Now, there was an initial impression that Hone Harawira went wrong by delivering the oath in Maori. But in New Zealand, members can swear the oath or affirmation in Maori?
Yes, this was first allowed in 1996 when a Māori translation of the oath and affirmation was provided for members wishing to use it. However, those who do wish to make the oath or affirmation in Māori must also say it in English.
So it wasn't because Hone Harawira delivered the oath in Māori?
No, the problem there was that he attempted to make reference to the Treaty of Waitangi. Normally when this happens, members are asked to make another attempt and to recite the standard version. However, as Mr. Harawira had already been briefed on the matter, the Speaker, Lockwood Smith, saw fit to eject him from the chamber.
So it's not the first time this has happened, is it?
No. For example, Green MP Catherine Delahunty made an attempt to do the same thing in 2009, and she questioned the Speaker about that last week.
When I made my affirmation, sir, I was asked to repeat it, and I was given that opportunity because I also mentioned Te Treaty o Waitangi, and I'm not sure why this wasn't allowed in this case.
The member raises a perfectly reasonable point of order, and the practice that the member herself admits to doing is actually breaking the law. For members to set that kind of example in this place is unacceptable.
So are any moves being made to alter the oath and affirmation?
Officially not yet, but that would be a matter for the Standing Orders Committee, which last year began a review of the standing orders that govern conduct and procedure in the House. That committee is due to report back by the end of this parliamentary term. Earlier this year, the issue of the oath was broached in a submission to the committee from the Clerk of the House, Mary Harris. Let's hear what she had to say.
Really what I'm looking for here is a way to prevent members adding political statements when they're sworn in. The swearing in my view, is not the time for that. They are issues for debate. We're looking for a standing order that where a member doesn't comply with the oath as set out in the law, the Speaker or the Clerk could determine that the swearing-in be postponed until a later date. If a member is not prepared to swear in, be sworn in the form that is prescribed, then the member is invited to go away and think about it and come back a bit later.
Clerk of the House, Mary Harris. So at this stage, it's not likely the committee will look at updating the oath, but instead address the best way to deal with members who attempt to alter it.
Thanks, Rhys. That's Rhys Lyon. I'm Tom Fruin, and this program is brought to you with funding from the Office of the Clerk.